You ever have someone in your family that is not a doctor but likes to play one for the rest of the family?
Oh, you mean like a walking WebMD website?
Yes.
In the family?
Always knows best, better than anybody. We got one of those for you today.
That crazy and insane, my crazy family.
Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Check us out on Apple Podcasts and get our premium subscription where you get access to all of the episodes in advance and the archive, and it's all commercial free. Helps keep this program on the air. Or call in your story. We want to hear that too. 833-CRAY-FAM or crazyfampod.com to share your crazy family stories with us. Tony and Stacey Cole with you on today's episode. What's up?
Well, as we're recording this, my area, I'm in Wisconsin, is under, it just changed from a winter weather advisory to a winter storm warning, or I'm sorry, watch. It's a watch right now. And I'm sitting here, I'm next to a window, and this humongous wind gust came out of nowhere, and like the trees bent, and then it's gone. But they mentioned that the winds are going to get just outrageous, and we're going to get an ice storm, and it's basically Armageddon over here.
Gale,
and I think it's starting.
Winds. Wow. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
I got a little sprinkles going on out here. And
was it like 50 degrees there?
Yeah, right around there. Probably about 60.
That's annoying.
But tomorrow, I think it drops. It's supposed to get like arctically cool by the weekend.
Do people wear coats where you are? Are they all bundled up like it's winter?
Well, there's a lot of nudists around here. A lot of people just don't wear clothes in general. You walk into Walmart, there's always about three or four guys not wearing pants. And it's weird where you'll find them too. Like sometimes it's in the golf aisle. Sometimes it's in women's lingerie. But you just kind of, you know, okay, it's Arkansas. And you just kind of go along with it.
Your Walmart is a little bit different than mine.
We're the headquarters of Walmart. People do things different. They're fucking rich.
Yeah. They can do whatever they want.
It's like Eyes Wide Shut Walmart.
Oh God. Oh no.
You go to the back aisle where it's like supposed to be like a dairy and there's a woman laying on a cart naked. And then all these weird guys are just not wearing pants, eating sushi off of her nipples.
It's Walmart after dark.
That's what happens here at the Walmart headquarters. I actually do have an interesting story that somewhat ties into that.
What?
Yeah, not that there's Eyes Wide Shut shit going on behind the RVs and camper equipment at Walmart. But I did learn this. There was a community I used to live in here. Not like a cult, but it was just a gated community. It was in where a lot of Walmart executives live.
Uh-oh.
And it was a nice house. I liked it. I was unaware of any of this for the 6 months that I lived in there. I really, for the most part, felt fine about it. It was a very nice area. After I left and I got the farm down here, I start meeting people. I started dating and you start, you know, where did you live? I was like, oh, I used to live over there. And da, da, da. And I always get the same reaction. I still do to this day. Had it the other night when me and my fiance were out to dinner with one of her friends. Said I lived in this community once. And they look at me, they're like, are you aware of the, like, yeah, we're talking about a massive swinger community.
No.
Rich swingers. Lots of them. Yes.
Ew.
And it's like a, and I didn't even know this. And I was like, what? I
remember Do you think people were starting to groom you into it?
No, I didn't talk to anybody. I was my reclusive self the whole time.
Gotcha.
I don't deal well with people. I always felt, I always have this imposter thing where it's like, I don't ever feel like I fit where I'm at, even though I probably do. That I fit being a swinger, but I mean, the income area, I mean, it was a golf course, you know, country club type community. I could afford to be there. But I always feel like I'm a fake. Like, no, this is not my, cause I've never been that. I've never been the popular crowd or having anything. So I always felt weird, but, I guess the symbol is like the upside down pineapple or something. And
yes. Oh my God. God, yes, Tony, it is.
And then people are like, do you ever see the pineapples on the porches? And I'm thinking back, like, not that I like could point out and say, yeah, that house, but I do recall seeing pineapples on porches.
Oh, I have pineapple in my fridge right now.
So, I mean, but my question is, how does that, I mean, I would assume like you already like have your circle of friends that you're fucking the wife and husbands of. Do you need the pineapple to advertise that? Like, did people just go up to the door and be like, saw the pineapple, can I fuck your wife?
You know? So it's like tying the tie or the sock around the doorknob in college. Kinda. It's just a sign.
What is that? I never went to college. What's the sock around the doorknob?
Okay, so if you are out and you come back to your room and there's a tie or a sock or something wrapped around the doorknob, it means your roommate is getting it on. You need to stay away for a little bit longer.
Okay. Okay. It's not like an invite or something like that.
No. Well,
so, not
to my knowledge. No,
but I
never went in.
And I'm like weirded out by this whole idea to begin with, because that's totally not something I would ever participate in. Right? It's like, how does that, like, you got to be in a really weird relationship with your partner if this is what you're doing.
Well, I would think there'd be some serious jealousy at some point that, you know, maybe you seem to be relating a little bit better to Jeff's wife than you do to me.
I would think it'd be a total recipe for disaster.
Oh, yeah.
But
what if you totally hit it off sexually with somebody else way better than your own partner?
And what happens when your kids figure it out? Because there's a lot. It was a very family-like community, and it was weird to learn that. But I can't. Yeah. Anyway, I don't even know how I got to that part of it.
I don't either.
Started talking about the swinger town that I lived in and I was unaware of the entire time.
Yeah, I don't know how we got there.
We're talking about Walmart executives. And then we went there. So there's an insight on a little bit of Walmart.
Wow. But, wow, I mean, Arkansas.
Like, here's the thing. These people aren't from Arkansas. They're from California. They're from coastal areas. They're from all over. It's like
they just visit?
Well, no, they live there because it's like having Amazon in your backyard. It's high, super high paying executive jobs. Like, you run like specific departments for the largest retailer in the world. So these are buku buck, you know, you're making tons of money. And a lot of them are kind of young and attractive. And I guess it just kind of happens. I don't know. I don't know how weirds me out. It weirds me out. And if you're doing that, cool. That's your thing. Not going to pass judgment. Okay, I will. But I'm just going to say not interested, but
it's not for everyone, and that's okay. But, you know, don't be putting a pineapple on my porch.
Don't be putting a pineapple on my porch. And with that, let's go into our first story.
God. Okay. Oh, okay. Hang on. I got to stop laughing because this is a serious story. Okay. 3 years ago, my grandmother accused my dad of causing tension and hurt feelings by discussing politics at our Christmas family dinner hosted at her house. Well, that's a recipe for disaster right there. My uncle was actually the one who brought up the politics. My dad stayed quiet and listened as a few other people else argued back and forth. My grandmother stayed quiet. A few days after the family event, she mailed my dad the gift that he gave her. She included a note in which she accused him of stirring up trouble by talking about politics. She also informed him that he was no longer invited to family events at her house. My dad tried to explain that he had done nothing wrong, but she wouldn't listen. She has also stopped inviting me, my husband, and my two children. She does, however, invite my uncle, my cousin, her husband, and her children. I've told her twice that this is unfair, but she insists it's better to not have everyone together. I've accepted it and moved on, but I still can't get over how crazy this is. I feel like she's been bad-mouthing me around my cousin because she is avoiding me now, too. I just needed to vent. I still get a little bit bitter when the holidays approach. I used to love going to my grandma's and being around everyone. My, how things have changed. Well, grandmother obviously has the wrong person.
The wrong person?
Yeah, because it was the uncle that brought up the politics. Sure, it wasn't her dad. It was her uncle.
What I'm guessing is going on here is that she's the grandmother sides more with the politics that one was discussing over the politics of another. And then because that's what's happening. We're all splintering off because people can't get over that we have differences. And we used to like get along better, but now it's like everybody is so entrenched in what their beliefs are that they can't see past it in so many situations. I get where maybe she's trying to just have peace and this is the only way she really sees it as working. But at the same point, it would have been more healthy, I think, if everybody just kind of takes a breath and says, look, new rule, we're not going to discuss these sort of things. We love each other, and let's not make this destroy our family. But it clearly seems like it's destroying the family.
Yeah, it sounds like it has. And, you know, you're seeing it from a different perspective. I thought that maybe grandma, you know, maybe a little bit senile and just pinpointed the wrong person.
Might be another case of grandma doesn't want to put up with bullshit at all.
Yeah.
And doesn't fucking care and doesn't want to hear everybody's arguments as to why this is right. It's like, look, you're my fucking grandkids. You all got to figure out how to get along. But if it's going to be crazy, we're not going to do all this together anymore. So.
And it's sad. And, you know, this has happened in the last 6 years.
Yeah.
You know, families have been starting to splinter a little bit, but 2016 really solidified it that families just split.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got one side over here, you have the other side, and then the pandemic hit, and then you got the anti-vaxxers and the ones who are like, oh my God, I need to stay away from anybody who hasn't had the vaccine. And we're crazy. We're not even a society anymore.
No, it's this sort of shit has divided everybody. Then very few people are like, let's meet in the middle. Like we've always all had different opinions on things. We don't always have to, be defined by them though. But people like seem to almost want to wave the flag of whatever tribe they're in for this reason or that reason. Well, fine, but you do realize that's just going to cause more collapse of everything. Mm-hmm. Like you can have your personal opinions and do whatever the fuck you want. No one's stopping you. Don't push it on other people. And that's it. Whatever way it is, whether you're pro this or anti that, whatever, just live your life, do what you want. If someone wants to have a conversation with you about it, have a civil fucking conversation and understand the other person. And everybody just wants to have their voice heard louder rather than understand where someone is coming from on something and respecting it. I've had my opinions changed many times over the years. Yep. I've had them changed on a lot of the stuff with the pandemic as well, where it felt like this is the right way to go and you get entrenched in it. I get it. It, especially when there's fear involved and you're literally thinking this is life or death. And some people felt that way both ways, where it was life or death if you don't get this vaccine.
Yep.
And it's life or death if you do get this vaccine. And, you know, it turns out there's a lot of fucking gray area with all of it.
And there is. And you and I are on somewhat different planes. I'm 100% vaccinated with every booster that they've made available. If they make another one available, I will be the first in line.
And that's fine.
I still wear a mask out in public. I'm that person, but you do you.
Yeah.
I'm going to do me because I know what my body needs. Mm-hmm. I know that I get sick a lot. So I'm ultra paranoid that I really don't want to get whatever the fuck is out there right now. There's RSV, there's flu and COVID. Yeah. I don't want any of that shit. So I'm that crazy bitch out there at Target wearing a mask.
She also lives in an abandoned missile silo way deep in the ground. Now,
if you know of one I can move into, let me know.
I always thought that would be cool. But seriously, I mean, and I used to earlier on in all of this show, I was doing the same. And at some point I just said, I'm done. I can't keep doing this. And
but that's your choice.
It's my choice. And I totally respect it. And then I started learning other people because for a while I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear another side. And it's like, maybe I should, because everybody's getting so fucking divided. We can't live like this. Mm-hmm. And then I started hearing another side. I'm like, okay. Well, I get why this person is doing that for their reasons, and it makes total sense for them. If I was in their shoes and had the same history, the same experiences with drugs or whatever, vaccines and things like that, I would probably be doing the same thing. And it's like, okay, not everyone is evil on the other side of your opinion. And usually most people are not. And this is where we can't live like that anymore, where everybody's so dug in this way or that way. We have to come together. You can't hate a person based on some choices that they've made that do not affect you directly whatsoever. And they're very personal decisions. And we just can't do that. We've tried it. It doesn't work.
Right. And Tony, the thing is right now, we were so concerned about a pandemic killing us that I think we ignored the fact that the collapse of society is going to fucking kill us if we don't reel this in really soon. We've got some really wicked shit going on. Social media has been turned on its head upside down.
Yeah.
We've got the rise of the Nazi party. I mean, so I'm not so afraid of COVID anymore. Yeah. I've done what I need to do to protect my body. Mm-hmm. And whatever happens, happens. I'm concerned about the fucking Nazi party that's going to come marching down the street if we don't stop some shit.
I know. And there's so many things that are just out of control and have been legitimized. And things like you never thought would be legitimized. Like,
right.
Huh? Like, what do you mean? Like, if we were talking 21 years ago, and it's like, hey, 20 years from now, we're going to be doing a podcast, which we wouldn't even know what that meant. And we're going to be talking about the potential rise of the Nazi party again. It's like, oh, holy shit. By the way,
what?
Very interesting podcast out there on that topic. And I normally don't promote podcasts that are not mine. Rachel Maddow's podcast on called Ultra. It is very eye-opening. And you don't have to be a fan of Rachel Maddow or liberal politics or anything like that. It's very just history, factual, and presented in a really interesting way. It's not political for your party or that party. It talks about things we were never taught in school at the early parts of World War II. How splintered our country had become, and how there was active Nazis in our country, high up in government, trying to take over the government of the United States. Yep. And why we were never taught these things, I have no fucking idea. But it's very eye-opening, because a lot of people think this has never happened before. Nothing's happened like this. Oh, but it has. And even to much greater lengths than what we think of what's happening right now. It came very, very dark and very, very close to being something that would have changed our country dramatically. Interesting. Listen, if you want to dive into it, it's like a 7-episode thing. I was doing it when I was cleaning this week, and it was just like, shit, this is very compelling. So anyway.
Well, and she's an incredibly smart, articulate person. So, and she vets all of her information for the most part. If she makes a mistake, she retracts it and says, okay, I was wrong. Yeah. I appreciate where she comes from. I don't agree with everything she says, but I appreciate the work she puts into what comes out of her mouth.
Yeah, I mean, don't be turned away from it because it's Rachel Maddow. If you're more in conservative politics, I get it. It's a very good listen. It's very accurate. It's just based on historical facts. It's reciting facts of history that we're kind of brushed under the rug because I think the parties that be at those times didn't want to be known for or remembered like that. But interesting. Anyway, let's continue on with crazy family shit.
Yeah. Well, okay. My daughter is 11. My sister hasn't been involved in the ups and downs of my daughter's medical history or much into my daughter's life. Part of it is she lives in a different country, but that's just a small part. My daughter had severe reflux that she had to have surgery at 8 months for, and then we did PT. Then it was ear tubes, then eye surgery for her tear ducts. We've done therapy. I had her in activities to help her. She has glasses, braces, and is now on growth hormones. This kid's only 11.
My gosh.
From appearances, you wouldn't even really know. My kid is super smart and very mature, and I always get compliments on her behavior. My kid loves salads and healthy foods, but she'll eat cookies and such. So the new thing with my daughter is that her cholesterol is high. She's very thin, and I think she has a relatively good diet. The doctor did decide to put her on a statin at age 11 since she has high cholesterol. Well, I told my sister as a matter of conversation, and boy, did she go off about diet and that no kid needs medication if they have a proper diet. She moved from the UK from the US, and she has a 4-year-old, and lectures me on how terrible our diets are in the United States and that I'm not trying to lose weight, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just over it. She won't stop when I ask her to. And then I feel like she's blaming me for my daughter's high cholesterol. Our kids are 7 years apart. I am in the tween years. How does she possibly know what I'm experiencing for her to be so self-righteous? And not only that, we have totally different stresses. She works part-time. I work full-time. And all she does is lecture. And the only reason I began speaking with her was so that I wouldn't be a stranger to my niece. Well, you know, it's one thing to sit there and say, you know, an 11-year-old kid shouldn't have to be on a statin. You're right. But her genetics are such that if she's not, she's going to be dead by the time she's 15.
It's ignorant thinking. It's someone who's dug into what their position is, and it doesn't matter what reality is, and they're not going to hear anything else. It's exactly like we were just talking about, where people are so dug in on what their thoughts are, and they're always going to be right, and come hell or high water. Their cholesterol actually is a genetic thing. And you can have the best diet in the fucking world and still have high cholesterol. So are there certainly ways to lower cholesterol? In a lot of people, yes. Yes, we do have horrible diets. But she's painting with a very wide brush, saying that her daughter has high cholesterol. She must be eating unhealthy things. And if she was, your sister has a point. But if she's not, she doesn't. And she's misinformed. So it's one, and you're the parent, number one. It doesn't sound like it's like being reached out to in a manner of concern. It's more so self-righteous adulation of, I know this better than you. And that's not any way to handle anything to begin with. But if your daughter is healthy and doing everything right, and she has to be on a statin because genetically she just got the shit card for cholesterol, then you're doing the right thing, because it will likely absolutely save her life. If there are other ways, if losing weight or eating better would help that, then fucking do it. But if it's not, and she already is doing that, yeah, you got to do what you got to do to not die.
My brother-in-law had a stroke at a young age, and a lot of it came back to cholesterol and things like that. They have a genetic marker in their family, and he got the shit card, just like you talked about. And he didn't know it.
Sure.
That's the crazy thing. He didn't know it until the stroke. And then it was, you know, he had to make a serious change in his life. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that he was eating really poorly, but he had to alter some things because of this genetic marker that he had. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really sad that this 11-year-old is going through this, but, you know, adding on the shame of, well, her diet's shit or whatever, that's not helping anybody.
No. And especially when she brings up, it's not shit. She eats well. Understand, this is not the case of everybody. And broad strokes, yeah, if you look statistically, we're an insanely unhealthy country. We mm-hmm. eat so much shit. Our cholesterol is through the fucking roof. Are there many ways to get that under control? Yes, in a lot of people. In some cases, no. I mean, yeah, they're doing everything they can already. And sometimes you need the assistance of modern medicine to help with the genetic shit, you know, that you got. And it sounds like she already has a lot of, you know, things where her body is not functioning correctly that are well beyond anyone's control.
Well, yeah, to have reflux surgery at 8 months old, yeah, genetically something's not right here. So what's wrong with having modern medicine help this girl lead a longer life? Because if she were to just been let go, nope, we're not going to put her on these medications because she's too young, she probably would be dead by now.
Some people just like to be heard louder and longer rather than listen.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. And if she's, and it sounds like there already is a strained or non-existent relationship there, and probably for good reason.
Everybody's a fucking expert, you know?
Yeah.
It's one thing to share, hey, I've had this situation and I tried this, you know, you might want to check with your doctor and see if this would be right for you, you know?
Yeah.
Like every goddamn commercial that's on TV. But, you know, unless you've been in the situation and unless you're the doctor who's dealing with the patient, you need to keep your mouth shut.
No, these are personal decisions. You know, I love those ads though, by the way, where it's like, 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 La Crunta may make you lactate Mountain Dew from your nipples. Ask your doctor if it's right for you. And a lot of people are like, holy shit, free Mountain Dew from my nipples. Yeah.
You know, and I think we've talked about it before, but there's a drug out there, and I actually was prescribed the drug. It's for diabetics. I'm not diabetic, but it was to boost weight loss. I think it was called Saxenda.
Okay.
I think. But there's the reason I didn't get the prescription filled wasn't just the fact that it's $900 a month, but it might cause an infection of your perineum, which is between your anus and your urethra.
Okay.
It might cause a severe infection in that area. And I thought, I'd rather be 10 pounds overweight than have that shit going on.
I lost the weight, but holy shit, down there, you got to see this. Oh my God. Right? You've never seen anything like this. Let me take my pants off in the Walmart.
Exactly.
In the Walmart next to the guy that's eating the sushi off the...
Yeah, seriously, these let's see, injections, hang on a second, I'm gonna look this up. There are a class of drugs out there for diabetics that control your A1C that, yes, FDA warns about the rare occurrence of the serious infection of the peritoneum.
Wow.
Yeah, it's rare, but I thought, you know, just the fact that it's there, and I've got a very weird body that I've had some really rare side effects to medications. Uh-huh. I'm not going to fill this prescription.
That's one not to try. Yeah.
I'm just going to skip that. I'm just going to get on the elliptical for an extra 5 minutes per day.
That might, rather than have an infection there, that would suck. My God.
Can you fucking imagine?
Oh, no, I can't. And I don't want to, because that's what nightmares are made of.
Oh my God. Yeah. Necrotizing. Wait, I just lost it. Necrotizing fasciitis of the perineum.
Well, a lot of people, necrotizing is
death of tissue, basically.
A lot of people would just breeze through that and just go, I don't understand what that means. It can't be that bad until they realize what's happening.
Well, the next time you see the ad for some of these, what are they called? They're called SGLT2 inhibitors. It's usually the diabetic, you know, your A1C, it controls your A1C. Listen closely to those ads. They may bring up this rare side effect.
Oh God. There was one the other day that I saw. I don't remember what it was even for, but I almost thought it was an SNL bit. I'm like, is SNL on? Like, what the fuck is this? Like, it was such an extreme, like, this may cause, and it just went into some very bizarre, it was for a sleep aid. And it was, may cause you to sleep eat, may cause you to sleep drive, sleep shop, sleep. It was like, is a list of like sleep dash things. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing. Like,
I think you're going to have
no memory of doing so. It's like, well, this is like
some of those sleep medications like Ambien, the ones in those classes do have that ability to put you into a different plane of
existence,
of sleep where you're aware. Yeah. You're able to do things, but you don't recall it.
Yeah. I mean, there was even like violence in it, where it was like, may cause you to act violent towards others and not have any recollection. Cool. I'm like, well, this is like, you're going to get killers on this shit. Or people are going to, and they're going to argue, well, according to this side effect on this ad for this drug I've been taking, that's how you murdered your whole family. You know, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah. There are some, I think, was it the Ambien? The Ambien murders, sleeping defense. Yes, yeah. The sleeping pill defense in Denver area murder case. Yeah, it's out there. It's from 2009. But some of these drugs can cause you to be so off your rocker that you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
Like, at least I got sleep. I killed my child and the neighbor's dog, but I got
the
best night of sleep.
Damn, did I get a good 8 hours?
Oh my God! Like, it's like, then should say, like, have your family lock you in a cage while you're taking this drug.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Because the potential for what you're capable of doing afterwards. Oh my God! I literally was like, back that up. Like, what the fuck did I just hear? And I was like, oh my God, this is real. Like,
yeah, it's frightening. I had a migraine medication that was an injection. I never got around to using it, mainly because I read it had a black box warning on it that it may cause death. fucking cause death is what, I mean, it didn't say fucking, yeah. but it said may cause death.
But it should. It should say may fucking cause death. They went like, oh my God, they put the fucking on it. I'm taking this one seriously, other than the one over here that says may cause death.
I mean, it's just insane that, you know, it, when you're in the throes of a migraine, I could totally see myself going, well, if it might help, I'll try it, because migraines are awful.
Sure.
But the fact that that was in my house, that I filled that prescription, the pharmacist did not tell me that side effect. I actually, it was my bathroom reading. I pulled out the insert while I'm on the can and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Doesn't like almost every drug though have some sort of may cause death innuendo
yes.
in it? Like,
but the reasoning is, and I know this from the veterinary world, is that when they do their drug trials, you're taking a sample of the population. Somebody's going to die.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and you know, it's just the roulette wheel. Someone's going to die. But if they were on that medication when they happen to have died, they do have to list that as a possible side effect.
Sure.
It may have been that their time was coming regardless of the drug, but because it happened under that drug trial, they have to legally put that there.
Yeah. And it's the greater good bet. It's like, okay, well, there'll be far more people dramatically helped by this drug
right.
than killed. And it's horrible. Right. But at the end of the day, more lives are going to be saved than killed. And that's where you got to look at it and go, well, greater good does make more sense. Horrible that people are going to die. But then if we're going to make the argument of, well, don't take anything, well, then we'd all be still dying at like 35 and you'd be lucky if you made it to 40. So there has been some advances.
If they happen to, you know, there's suddenly like 30% of the people taking this drug are dying, you've got a problem. It should be a very small percentage. You know, it should just be chance basically. But if all of a sudden people are dying on this drug, it's a problem.
Yes. 100%. Let's go to another story. And if you have one you want to share with us, call it in 24/7, 833-CRAY-FAM or 833-272-9326, or write it in on our website at crazyfampod.com. What do we got?
All right. So I live with my parents, mom and stepdad, still at the age of 21. Sad. I know, you know, 21's not so bad, still living at home. But anyway, it says, but in this economy, where else am I to go? Anyways, my parents both hate each other. Jesus. And regularly get into screaming matches where they just scream at each other over pointless shit for anywhere from a few hours to up to 15 hours. I've been dealing with this pretty much a few times a week, every week since I was like 6.
Uh-huh,
and it's taken a huge toll on me mentally. Aside from the obvious of not being able to sleep because of it, it's caused me terrible stress mentally, and I swear I have some long-term mental damage now because of it. Mm-hmm. I work the night shift, so I sleep during the day. However, I live in a cabin with no insulation between walls and floors, so the sound travels everywhere. I need a fan to sleep, and I constantly hear yelling when my fan is on, even if no one is home. I have shut my fan off every day to make sure it's just my brain making it sound like yelling is happening. I hate it so much. And every time I hear anyone raise their voice even slightly, I get wicked anxiety and shut down until I can find a way away from the situation or just go numb to it. My family has ruined me. I have no chance at a normal mental state because of them, and I'm never going to have a normal family because of them. There are times where I have to sleep in the back seat of my car just to avoid listening to it, and I go to work sore and tired because the sleep you get in a car is shit. I just can't take it anymore. No matter what, I can't escape what they've already done to me. I don't know if I'm just being dramatic or whatnot, but I seriously feel broken after dealing with this for 15 years. I guess I just needed to vent, and hopefully someone can maybe relate to it so I know it's not just me who's been affected like this.
Uh-huh. Well, there's basically two choices here. You can continue being a victim for the rest of your life, or you can be the grown-up and say, you know what? Yeah, this is fucked up. And you've already done that. You've already identified this and you know it's mm-hmm. not normal. So that's good. Some people will be like, I'm just going to do that because that's how my parents acted. No, you know it's horrible. Did they do damage? Do you have trauma? Without a fucking doubt, you do. But here's the good part. You're an adult and you don't have to be captive to this anymore. So yes, there's the economy, but you know what? We're in a world where you can make money 5 billion ways that you couldn't 10 years ago. So here's the deal. Grow up, get out of that house, get a paying job, get a one-bedroom apartment or something that you can afford. There is things out there. Everyone has an excuse why there isn't, but there are. And go be an adult and get the fuck out of there. You're not going to change them. This is how they've interacted their entire life. This is normal to them. It doesn't even probably feel like arguing because this is how they communicate. So you can sit there and go, you know, I'm this horrible at this and they've ruined me this way or that way. You're 21. You're not ruined, okay? You can pull yourself up and redefine your fucking life of who you want to be. At 21, you maybe not realize that. You may think, this is who I am and I'm such an adult. You're not. You're a child. But you're a child that has the ability to get the fuck out of there. So get the fuck out of there and go live the life you want to. Recognize the triggers. Recognize the things that you're living with. Recognize the trauma. Start talking to somebody. Go get some exercise and start reading about trauma. Start reading about other people who have been through this sort of thing, because there's a gazillion people who have, and they found ways of elevating themselves out of that trauma, living a much better life, and then educating other people on how to do the same fucking thing. Because you at some point will hopefully look back and go, I felt that exact same way once. I hear where you're coming from over there. There is light at the end of this tunnel, but you have to make the choice to do it.
Yeah, you have to turn on that light. And we've had stories where, you know, we've had a 12, 13, 14-year-old writing into us talking about their horrible family situation. They can't get out.
No,
you can.
You can. And don't say economy, like, fuck it. Yeah, that's not the greatest. But you know what? There's many other generations before you that have come up in shitty ass economies and have found ways to be an adult, move on with their life, and not be victims to things that, you know what, you can control now. You can't control your parents' actions, but you can control where you go to bed at night.
Absolutely. And we might be dealing with some depression here. I mean, we, of course we are. And anxiety that's been identified. It might be time, like you said, to look into some counseling, maybe talk to a doctor, see if you can get on some medication, if that might be useful for you. But you can do something about your life. You can.
That's the thing that we often forget is you have choices. Not everything is black and white or just black or just white. It's you have choices in this matter. This person sounds like they don't feel like they have that or doesn't even realize that they have it. You are not stuck. You have more opportunity than so many people do. You're not living in this household with your own kids. And
it's
like, you are you. You have you. There's no other people that like, well, you need to stay here for this or that. Get the fuck out. It's you. And yes, I'm sure there's depression and anxiety and a lot of things that are going to need some help with. And that's fine. You have, you're going to have that. Own it. Own it, and there's many ways to heal from it. It's not going to be a, you know, overnight thing where suddenly things are better. Heal from it, but you have to take the initiative to do it yourself.
Well, and I don't even think you need to confront your parents or anything.
No.
You've identified the problem. It's just time for you to pack up and move out, and you just tell them, hey, I'm going to spread my wings and go.
Yep.
Let them deal with their shit. That's their problem. They're used to it. They seem to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because why would they put up with it that long?
Exactly. You're not going to change people like that. Believe me, I've tried. it doesn't fucking work.
No.
So don't even worry about their bullshit. They'll end up, you know, doing what they're going to do and will end in a murder suicide. But at
we'll have them on the true crime podcast, you know, at some point.
I'm kidding. I hope I'm kidding.
Right.
But some people live like this till they're old and dead, and that's how they work. You work your own way. You recognize it's not the life you want. Then go get it. Go change it. You're 21. There's so many kids at that age that really just, there's this hopelessness sense to them. And they don't realize just how much choice they have in making the life they want. So go fucking do it. And,
well, there's so many places, you know, if you feel like your job isn't paying you enough to get out, go find another job. They're every fucking where right now.
By the way, there's never been an economy like this where everyone is hiring simultaneously for anything and everything. And if you show just the least bit of confidence, you can work your way up very fast at almost anything right now. So
Yeah. And I'm just doing a little math here. I saw Burger King in my area is hiring for $15 an hour. So if you work full time, $15 an hour, that's $31,200.
You can get an apartment on that and live.
You sure can.
And be okay. Trust me.
Yep.
It's doable. And it may not be what you want, but you know what? Start somewhere. And work, like I said, show a little bit of competence. You'll go from entry level to management very quickly because they're trying to find people in those roles too. There's not enough for them, or there's very incompetent people in those roles.
Oh God, yeah.
Just go be competent. Just go be competent. That's where we're at in our society. Go be competent.
It really doesn't take much more than that.
If you can speak in a full sentence and be competent and just do what the company needs you to do, and you can do it well, you'll be fucking golden and you don't have to deal with these people. So
yeah, there's enough idiots out there that if you can shine, they're going to focus on you
easily. It's not as dark and deep of a hole as you think you're in. You're still on fucking ground. You're not even in the hole. You can make it much deeper if you want to sit there forever and just keep, you know, going into the sorrow and the sadness that it is. Or you can fucking start running. Because you're not deep in the hole yet. You're young.
No, and it's totally okay to feel sorry for yourself. But at some point, you know, smack yourself across the face and go, okay, I need to deal with this. Let's go.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm harsh on these things because people need to fucking hear it. I'm not going to do the, you know, like, oh, it sucks. It's horrible. Yeah. Fucking trauma left and right. You got a lot of shit that will haunt you for the rest of your fucking life, no matter how much therapy you have. But you can make the choice of how you want to deal with that, and you can lessen that blow. It's all up to you to do it. That's going to wrap up today's episode of My Crazy Family. We want to hear your crazy family stories. Write in at crazyfampod.com or call in your story, 833-CRAY-FAM or 833-272-9326. If you like the show, check us out on Apple Podcasts and get commercial-free episodes, the full archive commercial-free and advanced episodes that you haven't heard yet. You can binge and binge and binge, even if you've already gone through the archive that's out there with no ads. Become a premium subscriber on Apple Podcasts and even try it for 3 days free. Until next time, for Stacia Cole, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to My Crazy Family.
They're crazy and insane. My crazy family.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too. Because where you get your information matters.
Boom.